Hi, this is Alan Schimmel, and you're listening to another episode of The Open Network on Network World. This episode's guest is Wendy Nather, Director of Security Research for the for 451 Research. Wendy, how are you today?
I'm good, Alan. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to always have you on, Wendy. You always have a lot of good news and good conversation. Wendy, jumping right into it because we don't have a lot of time to waste, is you have a new report coming out about the true cost of security. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And it's kind of a, I don't want to say it's a sequel, but it follows an earlier report you had done about, you know, security below the poverty line.
Yes, exactly. At that time, I had been looking at what sort of things you could buy for an organization that's underneath what I call the security poverty line. And what you could buy, for example, with $2,000, which is actually a lot of security budget in some cases. And now I broaden that to look at everything that conventional wisdom says that you ought to have for effective security and figuring out how much it costs.
Mm-hmm. So, Wendy, a little background on this particular report. What kind of research did you do here?
Well,
who did you speak to?
It was interesting. I surveyed a number of security professionals, ones just like you and me, including some that we actually know and love in the industry, people with over 10 years of experience, people who are consultants or CISOs, and asked them a hypothetical question. If I were a CISO and I was starting my first day at an organization that had never done security, what should I buy? That's it. What should I buy? And you would not believe the wide range of answers that I got. All sorts of things. Nobody recommended fewer than 10 things that you needed to buy. Some people recommended as many as 30 things that you should buy, 30 separate technologies.
Wow. So let's dig in a little bit. So first of all, so our readers understand, what you basically asked these people were if they had a greenfield situation, right? Starting from scratch, clean slate.
Right.
So they didn't have to worry about legacies or anything like that. Were there any other kind of prerequisites or preconceived notions that the people were given?
The only thing that I did was I specified it was for a 1,000-person organization.
Okay.
Because things vary so much, as you know. I did not want to describe it any more than the size of the organization by people, not even by revenue. But you would not believe the some of the responses I got in a few cases were, I can't possibly tell you what to buy until I know more about the organization.
Well, those are people who think they're very intelligent and are always, you know. So, Wendy, I've like you, we've both been in business and in security specifically a while. And there are some people who just, they're like lawyers. They never want to give a written opinion that you can hold them down on. So they'll constantly ask for more and more facts. And, you know, they can't possibly make a decision without more facts. And we need a little bit more. And, well, I can't. And the fact is, they never get enough facts and they'll never make a true decision. They're kind of paralysis, security paralysis, if you will.
Yeah. But what's really funny is that, you know, one person also said, this is a completely unrealistic scenario. This would never happen. And that's very funny because in my last job as a CISO, that's exactly what I did.
Exactly.
I walked into a 1,000-person organization on the first day. They said, we need your budget request by the end of business today. So I had to just make it up.
And I think that's probably a lot more common than certainly that respondent would give us credit for. Wendy, I think one thing is interesting, and we're going to come back to a lot of it, but one thing that you said I wanted to just circle on, and that is the fact that no one gave less than 10, some gave as many as 30, and doesn't that say an awful lot about the state of security today? I mean, the idea that, you know, with 1,000, which is a relatively small, you know, mid-size at best company, you know, you would need 30 different security technologies, 30 different security solutions.
Yeah, and a lot of this really reflected the background of the person, obviously. If they had been working at very large institutions, of course they could afford 30 different technologies. Some who were used to working with SMBs, are a little more practical and they trim it down to the bare essentials. But in any case, you're right. All of our solutions are so fragmented that you can't get away with just buying one or two things anymore.
No. I mean, the good news is you can probably buy 10 or even 30 different solutions from one vendor if they're one of the big guys like that. But Wendy, let's look for some commonality. I would imagine there had to be some things that were in every single response.
You're absolutely right. And the thing is, as much as we talk in the industry about how firewalls aren't working anymore and AV isn't working anymore, antivirus is dead, the one thing that everyone recommended in common, or the two things, were firewalls and AV.
Really?
Yep, absolutely.
So the king is dead, the king is dead, long live the king.
Exactly. And you can't blame them because you can't not recommend those anymore. Not if you're being thorough at your job. You can't say, "Oh, don't bother getting AV." No, nobody will give you any credit if you do that. So, it continues.
So let me ask you a question that, in security, we're big on next gen this and future that. And one of the themes I came home with from RSA conference this year at Wendy is we're seeing sort of a new way of doing endpoint security. And would certainly Palo Alto and the whole NGFW have kind of revitalized what was always a profitable but relatively static firewall industry. When people, they all put firewall and AV, are they perhaps talking about at least new flavors of them? Or did you dive into that level?
Well, for this survey, I did not prompt anybody, so I did not give any choices for them to pick from. I wanted to see what they would say completely, of their own accord. And a lot of them just said firewalls. A few said next generation firewalls specifically.
Okay.
But it really depended on how detailed their descriptions were.
Sure. So Wendy, and again, I haven't seen the report yet, so I'm sorry if I'm asking irrelevant questions, but did you ask them to rank the solutions in priority?
That's a really good question. The report is actually in the editing phase right now, so it hasn't come out, which is why you haven't seen it.
Oh.
I asked them first to list what technologies they felt were needed for effective security, and then I asked them of the ones they listed, which would they consider the bare minimum? And that's the only distinction I made in terms of priority.
So were there trends among priority and bare minimum? And what, for instance, was firewall and AV at the top of the list?
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much across the
Really?
board. There were some technologies that were listed, but then they ranked very low in terms of being a bare minimum. So, for example, data loss prevention was mentioned by a good number of people, but they did not consider it a bare minimum.
Well, this is going to be the year of DLP,
Yeah, right.
like the last 10 before it. But that's interesting. Wendy, what would you say was your biggest surprise?
Well, I wasn't too surprised by most of it, and in fact, the conclusions I came to after pricing everything that was generally recommended was that if you are a CISO and you're trying to build a budget for these things, you could be off by as much of as a factor of four, given the range of all of the tools. Given the different choices you can make, and of course, given some other factors about your organization. But given that spread is so wide, it's very hard to expect any CISO, even if they know what they're doing, to be able to make the right choices out of the gate.
Sure. Wendy, let me ask you to handicap this a little bit. So let's say the CISO, put in on average 10 different security technologies he requested in budget. And like many budgets, they came back and said, no, Charlie, you can have seven. What were the, taking any 7 out of your top 10, what were the, likely budget targets, or what was the range of budget targets for 1,000 person firm?
Well, taking the most commonly mentioned and most commonly specified as bare minimum technologies, I priced those out. And by the way, it was very difficult to get exact prices out of vendors as well.
No.
Same thing. I can't tell you what the price is until you tell me more about the organization. Mm-hmm. But adding all those together, plus the minimum number of recommended people to run it, which I also asked about.
Yep.
If you, for example, hired one person and used entirely open source software, you might be looking at a budget of, maybe $300,000 to $400,000. And that's really just from the personnel costs, not just the salary, but everything that goes up on top of that. So that's the bottom of the range. At the top of the range, if you hired maybe 3 or 4 people, which is what people most commonly recommended, and you bought, you kind of drew a line through the middle of all the prices of the tools, you would come out around, I believe the number was 500 to 800,000, and if you went to the top of the range, you would come in at over $1 million to pay for just the, the 10 most commonly mentioned tools.
So let's take the middle number of about, and let's call it $500,000 to make it, what's a couple of hundred thousand between friends.
Right.
So $500,000, $500,000 for a 1,000 person organization, mm-hmm. right? I'm no mathematician, but that's an easy, $500 per person number. Do you think that's a good kind of, throw it on the wall and it sticks kind of number?
Well,
$500 a person?
That's the problem. Nobody can say for sure whether that's a good formula. Some people say you should spend a certain percentage of your IT budget on security. I don't believe in that sort of spending model either, because it varies so much by what you're defending against, what kind of technology you have, how complicated it is, and so on, and who you have available to run it. So it's just all over the place. I don't think taking something like a percentage or a per person cost is practical at all.
No, and I'll tell you something else from my experience. You know what? 1,000 person organization, just having one person. Well, let's face facts. In 1,000 person organization with a CISO, that person is going to be more hands-on than just managerial as well.
Right.
So if he hires one other person to help him, it's now two people.
Mm-hmm.
So two people in a 1,000-person organization responsible for security. Again, you've got that 1 to 500 ratio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something, there's a certain symmetry there, Wendy. Right. We spend about $500 a person. And we have about one security person to every 500 employees. Doesn't seem like a lot. Well, maybe to some people it does.
Mm-hmm. If you're starting with nobody, it sounds like a lot.
Yeah, I guess. So, Wendy, let me kind of reverse it. Were there any surprises about what was left out of the list or left off the list?
Well, that's funny. Maybe lower down the list. One of the things that was not mentioned as often as I expected it would be was technology for application security.
Really?
Yes. And you would think that, again, with all of the very smart people we have in our industry, very experienced ones, that they did not immediately list application security as one of the very top bare minimums, was surprising and a little depressing to me.
It's funny. It reminds me of a conversation I had with some security folks after the recent Tripwire and Circle acquisition. And they said, it doesn't make a difference. It's irrelevant. And I said, why is it irrelevant? And they said, well, because it doesn't deal with application security. And if you're not dealing with application security today, you're irrelevant. maybe not as irrelevant as one would think. Or you're just speaking to people who aren't in the know.
Yeah, it's just not as top of mind for a good number of consultants and CISOs across the board if they are thinking bare minimums. And that's only fair because, as a lot of the breach incident reports have told us, a large number of the breached organizations that they dealt with didn't even have a firewall in place. So if you're talking about bare subsistence, you know, you're not going to get to application security until farther down the line.
I guess that makes sense. But, you know, working a lot with PCI and merchants, I will tell you a lot of merchants or a lot of e-commerce providers, let's call them fancier names, they understand the web application firewall aspect, I think, more than just putting a firewall in on their on-prem equipment. Right, they'd rather, you know, protecting that store online is paramount to them, and that, you know, it tends to be more of a web app kind of defense versus sort of traditional on premises security. Mm-hmm. But you know, that's just a subsection of a bigger audience, I guess. Wendy, let me ask another question. One of my favorite topics is always security awareness training. Where did that rank?
Security awareness training, I would say roughly half of the people I surveyed mentioned it in some form or fashion. Either training for the people to use the tools that you were buying or general awareness training for staff or both. So it was a pretty good number, but again, it was not necessarily a bare minimum.
Really? Huh. To me, and I've seen this in dealing with consulting clients, I think you could get tremendous bang for your buck with general awareness training. Just it amazes me how easy it is to fish people and to fool them into clicking on things on, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and what have you. And if we can invest a little time in that, just a little bit, and you don't need to go buy some very expensive awareness training software or anything or program. It amazes me that we don't see that higher up the stack.
Yeah, it's just not top of mind when you're asking somebody what you should buy, and that's understandable. You know, training can be free, and I've run extensive awareness programs on, you know, maybe a couple hundred dollars for some mouse pads, but you really need to have the expertise first to know and be able to deliver that training.
Got it. So, Wendy, when will the report be available, you think?
That really depends on our copy desk, but I hope within the next month. So hopefully at the very latest in mid-April.
Very good. Wendy, we only have a few minutes left, and this last answer actually was a good transition. You know, obviously you're a friend of mine, and I know you well, but I also know 451 Research very well, and in, especially within the security community, 451 is a highly, highly respected analyst firm. But not everyone in our network world audience today may be familiar or as familiar with 451 Research, which is part of 451 Group. Can we spend maybe a minute and a half talking a little corporate background, Wendy, about the 451 Group and 451 Research?
Sure. As many people have probably guessed, 451 comes from the novel by Ray Bradbury, Fahrenheit 451. And the original idea of the founders was to burn all the paper and do all the analysis digitally. And so that's how they launched the operation. And we write for investment bankers as well as vendors and end users, but we do it more in a newsletter or news type of model in that we're publishing every day. So if there's something that just happened, like a merger and acquisition, we try to get out an analysis of it right away. So that we write a lot of short, fast things along with a few long format reports like the one we've just been discussing.
Excellent. And Wendy, other than security, what other topics kind of represent expertise or, you know, that 451 covers?
We have a large range. As you can imagine, we brought in tier one analysts into the 451 research umbrella, and they have covered cloud and hosting for a very long time. And in fact, we have our own hosting and cloud transformation summit that we do in North America and in Europe once a year each. And on top of that, we also cover everything from data management to storage and everything in between. The other parts of the 451 group include our Uptime Institute, which certifies and ranks data centers, physical data centers. We cover some green IT, and we have our two survey organizations, ChangeWave and the InfoPro, which is now also part of 451 Research. We do a lot of surveying of executives as well.
Understood. And Wendy, for people who may want to find out more information about 451 Research, 451 Group, where can they go?
451research.com is the easiest place to go.
Okay. And just, I don't want to have anyone accuse us of a bait and switch. Most of your reports are usually behind some sort of paywall.
That is correct. Sometimes we put things outside, but between the two of us, Alan, and whoever's listening, if you contact me directly and really want to see a report, I can make sure you get one.
Well, that's why you're Wendy. Wendy, and I don't want to see you get spammed, but if someone wanted to contact you, what's the best way to do so?
It's wendy.nather, N-A-T-H-E-R, at 451research.com. And we have very good spam filters, so I'm not too worried about that.
Okay. Wendy Nather of 451 Research, thank you very much for being today's guest on the Open Network by Network World, and we look forward to seeing your report on what's the exact title, Wendy? I don't want to mess
it up.
That's
okay. It's The Real Cost of Security.
The Real Cost of Security. And really, I mean, it'll be fascinating to see, you know, what these folks picked across the board. Wendy, thank you so much, and we'll have you on again soon.
Thank you so much, Alan.
This is Alan Schimmel for Network World.